going to their class. The lesson for today is not back there, all right, if you were wondering. We have last week's lesson, and remember how I kind of taught the lesson and gave it to you? I kind of liked that. I don't know if that's going to be moving forward what we do, but right now we're kind of in this place where we're trying to reason and learning how to reason. And so in this section of our series, I really want your attention, and I'd like to look at you eyeball to eyeball and talk with you through this stuff. But everything I say, at least most of it, you know how it is going to be back there written down. And so if you want to take notes on your own and some things that you don't want to forget, do that. But we'll have the notes ready for you. What is back there, if you notice, but Brother Chad, what about the lessons? That's last week's lesson, okay? And so if you weren't able to pick up last week's lesson, it's back there. But some of you know, Brother Tim, Brother Mike, Brother Josh, some others that I've been talking through about this and have opportunity to talk about what God's doing through the Sunday School series in my heart, and I believe in the life of our church. I've had this series kind of decided in advance. I pretty much have the titles for each lesson ready, and I've kind of told you kind of the pattern of how this is going, where you know, we're called to work the field. This is field training. And as we're field workers, here's what we are, ambassadors, right? We mentioned that. And if you're going to be a good ambassador, it's going to take, what is it? Who can tell me? Accurate knowledge. Boom. Sound. Nope. Reasoning. That is biblical, though. You need that. And then a good what? Testimony. Accurate knowledge. Sound reasoning. And you need a good testimony. That's what you need if you're going to be a good ambassador. And so that's logically what it is. You need to know God, then know how, and then know the message, know how to deliver that message, and then you need to represent well in how you live. But practically, we said it's the other way. And so we're going this way, aren't we? Starting with a good testimony, because that's what people see first. And we said a good testimony opens up the ability for sound reasoning. And then as you reason with people, what you're trying to do is get to them accurate knowledge about who God is and what he has said. Okay, so that's what we've done. And so the first half of our series is just helping you see that need, that we do need a good testimony. And we showed you the impact of that. And right now we're in the middle of you need to be able to reason with people about the truth of the Bible. And then we're going to see that you're going to need to know what the Bible says. You're going to need to know who God is. You're going to need to know what he has said and how he said it. And so that's the first half. The second half, we're going to give nuts and bolts. And we're going to give you some just very practical ways to grow in your testimony. We're going to give you very practical ways to reason with people. And then we're going to give you very nuts and bolts sound doctrine, right? And what the message is. Okay, why did I say all that? Well, because part of sound reasoning, last week was foundations of sound reasoning, and it was what is truth. Remember that? And you can't reason with somebody unless you know what in the world truth is. And otherwise, we're reasoning about ice cream, right? Instead of reasoning about insulin. And we can't reason about preferences. I can't sit down with you and try to reason with you to like pistachio ice cream. You like it or you don't. That's your thing. We don't reason about that unless we're joking, right? But there is truth that is absolute. There is truth that is either right or wrong. And when we reason with people, we're trying to reason with them to accept the truth. Okay, so we talked about that. And then today, what is faith? That's today's lesson. What is faith? I said all that to say this has been established for weeks. And lo and behold, we get to our passage for Sunday morning. And Jesus dealt with disciples who had no faith, and they were confused about what faith was and how it worked. And so I'm not smart enough to make all that happen and just align the passages up like that. God did that, and so I feel like God has something for us today. And so if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 11. That's going to be where we read the faith chapter. We're going to read verse 1 just for sake of getting into our lesson. We'll come back to Hebrews 11, spend some more time there through the course of the message. But whenever you find your place in Hebrews 1, if you wouldn't mind to stand as we read, and especially today, but really always, You need to understand this. What I'm going to tell you is not my opinion or what I think. And you do not need to place your faith in what I said. That is a shaky foundation of faith. We place our foundation of faith, we place our faith in what God has said. And so that's why we always stand as we read, even if it's one verse, because here's what we're recognizing. We are going to do what God said. And we know it's true because he said it. And that's enough. That's faith. So, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we'll get to that through the course of our message. But what we're not interested in, what the world thinks faith is, because it's so confused. We're interested in what God says faith is. And so, and here's really what we want, the truth about what faith is. So I'm excited about it. Let's pray, and we'll deal with that today, reason about it this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that we can trust your word. Thank you that we do have good substance, good evidence, good reason to believe your word and to place our full faith and confidence in it. No matter how we think, no matter how we feel, God, help us to place our faith in this, your word. And help me to explain how that works this morning. Help us to have ears that are open, hearts that are soft to receive your word this morning. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. What is faith? Well, for many Christians today, faith and knowledge are opposite. Faith and reasoning are opposite. Faith and evidence are opposite. Faith and substance are opposites. Now you say, how does that work? Well, here's what they say. Let's take a moment to kind of put our fingers on the pulse of our society here, especially as it comes to Christianity. They'll say things like this, to this effect. Faith is what you use when reason is against you. That's faith. Basically, if you can't prove it, then what you need is faith, right? If you have no evidence, then you just have to take it by faith or take a leap of faith. We're accused of having blind faith. And honestly, many of us do. And we ought not. They'll say things like, just believe. Just take it on faith. I've heard this. Stop your ears to the sound of the critic, both within and without. Basically, don't ask any questions. Just believe it. Right? This is faith. And it has become really religious wishful thinking. Like, I know there's no good reason to believe this, but if you just believe hard enough, then it's true. Faith. As if we can make things happen through intense acts of sheer will. I know this isn't true. I have no reason to think it's true, but I'm just gonna hope against hope. I'm gonna put faith in this anyways. And if I just believe hard enough, then it'll happen. They say something to this effect. If you have proof that something is true, then they'll ask this question. Where's the room for faith? Where's the room for it? If you have evidence. And so what that mindset means is the more unbelievable the concept you believe in, the greater your faith. And so, according to that thinking and reasoning, the greatest faith then really is the one farthest removed from reason and evidence. Because the less evidence you have, the greater your faith. You see this? Now, you might be saying at this point, well, yeah, I'm pretty much, that's what I believe. And honestly, if that's where you're at, I'm not shocked by that. Because that's how our world views us. That's how, if you watch Christian movies, that's basically where it is. If you go to Christian bookstores and try to look at what faith is, this is about where it is. But that is not what the Bible says it is. If that were again how the Bible, how faith is, then that would mean this: that knowledge, reasoning, and logic would actually be detrimental to your faith. That the more you think about it, the more evidence you have, then your faith is weaker. Wouldn't that be true? Here's some big words for you, but follow. That would mean faith and reasoning would be inversely proportional. How are we doing? What does that mean? As reasoning goes up, faith goes down. Right? And as reasoning goes down, faith goes up. That's how many think of it. The more knowledge, the more you've thought about it, the less faith you have. If God wants more faith, if you're there in Hebrews 11, look at 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Well, then, according to this thinking, then what God wants for you, if He wants more faith, then He obviously wants less reasoning. Stop thinking about it. Stop asking questions. Just believe it. That's what God wants. Is that what God wants? That is not what God wants. So the more evidence you have that leads to knowledge and reasoning, the less you please God, then, even. I don't know if it, I know it doesn't make any sense. But don't think about that. Don't ask questions. Just have faith. I don't know why I believe this, but I just do. That's faith. Listen to me this morning. Hear me clear. No, it's not. This is not faith. It's not faith. Think about the serious problem that kind of thinking would cause. If that's really truly what faith was, then again, the less evidence for Christianity, the more evidence against it, the more faith we show and the more we please God. And the greatest faith then we could have is knowing for sure it's not true and still believing it. That would be the best. That would be the epitome of faith. And how, by the way, how would you prove that Christianity is false? If they found the bones of Jesus? In that day, you know, at this point, I don't care who has what, like, you can't prove that. But if they found Jesus' body, then they would prove it, wouldn't they? What do you mean? After Jesus died and rose again, and they found his dead body, that would disprove everything. Are you sure? Do you remember when we were in 1 Corinthians 15? Here's what Paul said. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, here's what Paul said, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. Isn't that what he said? He says this, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, says it again, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But then he says, but he is risen, right? And so listen, so according to Paul, if Christ is not raised and we place our faith in that, even though we know it's not true, he says it's wasted faith. It's empty. It's vain. It's pointless. To believe something you know is not true is empty. And he says we are of most men. If that were true, we would be the most miserable of all men. Can I tell you this? There are people who put their faith in a belief that isn't true. Joseph Smith was wrong. But there are people who have great faith in the Book of Mormon. Are they virtuous? Is God pleased with that? No, he is not. You can give them evidence. You can show them how it's not true. They will not hear you. Is that faith? No, it is not. We need to know why we believe what we believe. This is eternity we're talking about. You see? Faith is not wishful thinking. I don't have any evidence. I don't know if it's true, but I'm just going to really, really hope, really, really believe that it is. And so Paul said, if that's how we're doing that, if we know we're wrong but we're believing it, then our faith is vain. And by the way, that's why for the first part of chapter 15, before he said that, what did Paul do? He gave evidence after evidence after evidence that Jesus was risen, didn't he? And you said he was seen of Cephas, and he was seen of us, and he was seen of the 500. What was all that? Evidence to prove that Jesus did indeed rise from the grave. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that evidence is the grounding, the foundation of our faith. And because we know that Jesus is God who rose from the dead, now we can then, because of that reasonable argument, place our faith in Christ. And then anything he says, we believe. But it's not just wishful thinking. All of it is because we know Jesus is God. And even though we don't understand everything Jesus said, we can take that by faith. But our faith is grounded in evidence. I'll keep talking about that. But I might be blowing some minds in here. Some of you are maybe going to think, Brother Chad lost his rocker. I'm going to show you how the Bible explains this. And this is the teaching of the Word of God. And so what we're saying is that that wishful thinking, opposite of evidence, opposite of reasoning, opposite of knowledge kind of faith, that cannot be true. Paul called that kind of faith vain faith. And so what we're saying is biblical faith is not wishing. Biblical faith is confidence. Biblical faith does not say, I don't know why I believe this. No, biblical faith says, I know this is true, and here's how I know. And so in this lesson, we're going to see this. Here's what biblical faith is. It's active trust based on knowledge, not contrary to knowledge. Knowledge is grounded in evidence. If you know something, and you're persuaded of it, then you better have a good reason why. And so the biblical order is this. This is what the Bible teaches about faith. Evidence, then knowledge, then active trust, which is faith. We've said it as we talked about how to lead someone to Christ, right? You can have knowledge and know it's true, but not place your faith in that. So faith is more than reasoning. Faith is more than understanding. Faith is more than knowledge, but it is the result of it. It flows from evidence, then knowledge, understanding, then faith. Doing all right? So number two, you don't have your notes. The foundation of faith is, well, we're going to talk about that part first. Evidence that leads to knowledge. Okay? That's the first part. And again, we're in Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is that all about? Well, biblical faith is not wishing or hoping it's true. It's confidence that is founded on substance and faith. Substance and faith. In our passage here, we have faith that we have something that we're looking forward to, heaven, things hoped for. Stuff we haven't seen yet, we know heaven is real. Well, how do we know that? Because we have evidence. We have evidence that says so. There's some things we haven't seen yet. But it's as for us, because of our faith, it is as true as if we've seen it. The things that God has said will happen are as true to us as the things we've already seen happen. That's faith. But where is that faith based? Substance. Evidence. The word faith is translated from a Greek word, pistis, which means this. Firm persuasion. A guarantee. Assurance, right? That's faith. There's a word, that was a word, pistis, that was around before the Bible was written, before the New Testament was written there. And it was used in a lot of contexts, not just religious contexts. And here's what it means if you have faith in something. You are fully persuaded of that thing. You know it's true. There's not a shadow of a doubt it's true. That's what faith means. It means you're certain. It's a guarantee that it's true. And so, if you have faith in something, then we know two things. There is something you are persuaded about. Faith is not some nebulous, pie-in-the-sky thing. I have faith. Well, faith in what? Right? There is something specific. You cannot be persuaded about something unless you know what you're persuaded about. So what are you, if you say, I have faith, you're saying, I'm persuaded about something. And it also means this, that there is a reason you have been persuaded about that thing. Here's what I want to help you with this morning. There is good reason, substance, evidence to believe what we believe. Go to Romans 1. Don't lose your place in Hebrews 11. Go to Romans 1. Romans 1, and we'll look at verse number 18. Romans is, you know, Paul giving the gospel to the Romans. Basically, he hadn't been able to be there, and so he wanted to give a very detailed, logical, reasonable reason for the gospel and really explain what the gospel is and what it means. The first 17 verses are really just preliminary in some ways, telling him he wants to be there, telling him, you know, what he's doing. But really, the dissertation starts in verse 18. Where he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold doesn't mean they hold it like tight. That means they hold it back. That means, I'm getting ahead of myself here too, but there's plenty of reason to believe this. They're refusing. They hold the truth in unrighteousness, suppress it. Because that which may be known of God, is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him. That sounds a lot like things that are unseen, right? The things that are unseen of God are from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. What does that mean? He's not saying the way the world was made is clearly seen. He's saying, look, you look at the creation of this world and you see it. God is real. Are you seeing that? It's clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, there is plenty of evidence to show God is real, and we're accountable to Him. All man knows that. There's plenty of reason to believe that. We know it's true, but we have decided not to believe that. We have decided to not place faith in that, but instead decided to do our own thing. And we didn't act on what we've been persuaded about, faith. We've chosen to instead not glorify Him, not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain. Their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. So here's what Paul is starting us off with the gospel. This is the gospel. The gospel says be happy, right? But first it starts off not happy, right? The gospel means good news. It starts off with the bad news. The reason the good news is so good is because the bad news is so bad. And so when you start off with the gospel, here's what he said. God's wrath is revealed against all humanity. We all deserve the wrath of God. And the reason we deserve the wrath of God is because He has given us plenty of evidence to believe that He exists, hasn't He? He has given us the whole creation of the world, and everything points to this. God is real. There's no such thing as an honest atheist. All men see the creation of the world and know there's a God. But here's what we do. We take the evidence and we hold it back, suppress it, and teach our young that we came from monkeys instead. Before that, they knew there was a God who created all things, but they held it back and they would then worship instead. What did they do? Look at verse 25. They would change the truth of God into a lie and worship the creature more than the creator. Where's the thing about creeping things and all that? Anyway, I wasn't planning to do that. But here's what paganism is. That we know there is a God who created all things and we're accountable to him. We don't want to give him glory. Instead of worshiping him, we're going to worship the creation instead of the creator. And we'll make totem poles. And we'll make little statues. Or we'll decide this created being, this cow that some people worship, this whatever, that eagle, we're going to worship the creation. Why? Because we're not going to worship the creator. This is humanity. This is all of us. All of us. And in the end, what happens eventually is we just worship ourself. And I know someone created me, but I don't care what he says. I'm going to do what I say. Because when you look at creation, the invisible things of him are clearly seen. If you honestly look at the evidence we have in this world, the evidence, then it is obvious there's a God, and you have to make a choice then to actively suppress the truth and believe a lie. And listen here, what am I saying this morning? If faith isn't supposed to be built on evidence, then why in the world would God give us so much evidence? Right? And why does he hold us accountable? We're not putting faith based on the evidence. And so we know God is real, and we know the Word of God is his Word. We're going to spend next time, I don't know if it's going to be next week or whenever we get into this lesson, giving evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. And so if we have evidence that God exists, and if we have evidence that the Bible is his word, then that is reason to place our faith in everything the Bible says. You see? Even if we don't understand why the Bible said that, we don't understand how that really works, our faith isn't built on God convincing us why he said what he said. Our faith is built on this. We know there's a God. We know the Bible is his word. And if the Bible says it, I believe it. That's faith. You see that? Are you following? That's faith. Why do you believe? We're going to do that later, but here's why. I have faith in that because the Bible said it. And why? Well, why do you believe the Bible? Because I know God is real, and there's reason to believe that the Bible is his word, and God has gone through great lengths to prove to us that this is his word. He did not just throw it at us and say, just believe it. He gave evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence. Every word in this Bible has first-person account and evidence and plenty of reason to believe it's true. And so that's what we're going to deal with next week. But for now, I just want to help you see that you need to do that. Your faith needs to be placed in that. Otherwise, can I be fully honest with you? Otherwise, we are no different than the Mormon church. We are no different than Islam. We are no different than any other religion that uses any other book, because what they have done is place their faith in a book and have no good reason to do it. And if you go to them and try to reason with them and say, your book is faulty. Your book is not real. Your book has problems. This cannot be the Word of God. They say, no, don't talk to me. Don't reason with me. I have faith. No, you don't. You have suppressed the truth and turned off the reasoning part of your brain. and said, I choose to believe this. And Christians do that too. We can't afford to do that. And you might be saying, Brother Chad, this kind of makes me a little bit nervous. You don't have to be nervous, because the truth is on our side. If something is true, then it can handle questions. If someone says, just trust me, don't ask any questions, that should make you nervous. Amen. Where's the body? Don't ask me. Are you seeing this? If they don't want you to ask, it's because they know it's not true and they have no reason to give you. But Peter said, be ready to give an answer to those who ask. Asking is good. If someone says, well, how do you even know the Bible's true? Can I just pause and say, that's a good question. Let's not blow them up about that. Well, you just don't have faith. Actually, they're trying to get faith. You're stopping them. And you better know why. Because you're placing forever and ever and ever and hanging it on this book. And you're telling me you don't know why you believe it? Well, mom and dad believe it. Lots of moms and dads believe a lot of things. That's not true. Oh, well, I've had some experiences. There's been a lot of experiences had. That's not a reason to believe something. We have plenty of hard evidence that God in his grace and wisdom has made sure we have to know this is his word. He is very interested in us knowing for sure that this is his word and he is real. Okay? How are we doing? All right. All right. So, there's good reason to believe it. So, evidence leads to knowledge. Knowledge then leads to active trust. That's faith. Here's faith defined. Active trust in what you have been persuaded about. So first you're persuaded, then you put trust. Okay. Faith, because here's the thing, faith is more than just knowing something is true. Faith is more than just being persuaded. Well, what do you mean? Biblical faith is active. Biblical faith says you believe it so much that you act. Hebrews 11 goes on. If you go back to Hebrews 11, we'll be done Romans 1 for now. Go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 1 says, here's what faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then, verse 4 says this, by faith Abel offered. See that? Unto God. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Look toward the back. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had, by faith, he lived the life God called him to live. Verse 7, by faith Noah prepared the ark. And he had, I mean, what? It has never rained before. And he decided to go ahead and build it. Why? It wasn't some pie-in-the-sky thing. It wasn't a hunch that he really, really believes hard enough. It was because he knew God exists. He knew God said it. And even if it makes no sense, it was very reasonable to do what God said. And so by faith, he built the ark. And for the rest of the chapter, the writer lists name after name after name of people who had faith in what God said, and then faith always did what? It caused them to act. Faith always causes action. So, if you have true faith, there are three qualities that make it true faith. Not even just biblical faith, just the word itself. Faith is a word that exists, even outside of Christianity. Faith means this. There is something you're persuaded about, or something specific. There is reason you have, for whatever reason you have, been persuaded about that thing. And number three is this, you will act upon that. True faith is the propensity to act as if something is true. What do you mean? You may say the chair is steady, but if you're not willing to sit in it, I don't believe you. You know what I'm saying? Faith is, I know this is steady. I know why. You know why? Because I've sat in it many times before. It looks sturdy. There's nothing loose. It's not shaking too bad. I can sit in it. Faith. See that? But if you say, I'm pretty sure it's steady, but I'm not going to sit in it, that's not faith. You exercise faith when you sit in the chair. You exercise faith when you get on the plane. I want to fly to New York. Watch a Giants game, maybe. Amen? So what do? I check the airline website. The airline tells me a certain plane goes to New York at this time. I believe it. I get on the plane. Faith. Well, why do you have faith the plane will go to New York? Well, because I'm first persuaded it's safe. Right? I'm persuaded it's safe. I trust the pilot has been trained. I trust there's someone behind that door. I have not seen it, but I believe it. I've never been back there, but I think there's someone back there. I trust the plane is mechanically sound. It's not going to fall apart in midair. I'm putting my life on the line. But I'm okay with that. Why? Why are you persuaded of that? Well, because I've seen evidence of thousands and thousands and thousands of successful flights. I've seen the evidence, that I've seen the statistics, that flying really is the safest way to travel. It's not just something they say. It's true. Like, I'm way more likely to die in a car accident than in a plane accident. I've seen that evidence. I know personally many people who have made several flights, and they're still here. And so, listen, it is reasonable then for me to be persuaded that flying is safe. Why? 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 Because I have evidence, I have substance in that. See that? And I better, because I'm putting my life on the line. And you're telling me you're going to put your eternity on the line? And you have no evidence to believe that? There are a lot of people who do that. And they will wake up in hell one day. You know why? They've never taken the time to really look at the evidence. So there's reason to believe that the plane will get me there. And so then I trust the airline enough to place my faith in them by getting on the plane. Faith is complete when I get on the plane. I can be fully persuaded. My mom was like this for years. I know it's safe, son. I get it. Because she'll drive all the way here. Forever. Mom, that takes a lot of time. It's, if you're doing it by yourself, it's actually more expensive probably. And it's less safe, you know? And she knows. She knows the evidence. She's finally got on a plane, by the way. So, praise the Lord. But here's the thing. Is she was, and she'll admit it, she was being irrational. Right? Because she was persuaded in her mind, but she held back the truth about that and would not get on a plane. There are plenty of people who are persuaded that God is real, who are persuaded the Word of God is true, but for whatever reason, they decide, I am not going to listen to it. There's a whole myriad of reasons why that happens. But faith is when you go ahead and do what it says. Right? You can say you have faith in the safety of air travel all you want, but the moment you step on the plane is the moment you have truly placed your faith in the safety of air travel. See it? James said it like this in James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So true faith is this, is my personal investment, my act of trust in that which I have good reason to believe is true, knowledge, and based on the facts, evidence. Evidence, knowledge, active trust. Okay, so now we're going to get to it. That was a good intro. What does it mean when you say these words? I have faith in God. There's a lot of people who say, I have faith in God. What does that mean? Well, if it's true faith, there are three elements to that, right? You're fully persuaded about something specific. You have reason that you are persuaded about that thing, and then you're acting on that belief. And so there are three questions that you need to answer if you're going to say, I have faith in God. The first question is this. What are you talking about? Faith in what about God? right? What specifically are you persuaded about? Because faith is not some mystical force that we use. Faith is always specific. It's never generic. You cannot be fully persuaded about something without knowing what it is you're fully persuaded about. If you do not have a specific thing, it's not faith. It might feel good and fuzzy, but it's not faith. So when you say, "I have faith in God," here's what you ought to say. "I have faith about what God has said." And you'll say certain things that God has said, and I have faith in that. I am persuaded about that. The second question is this: what reason do you have for being persuaded about that? Okay, you're persuaded. I get it. Why? How do you know it's true? Why are you fully persuaded it's true? What evidence do you have that made you convinced of that? Because biblical faith is always grounded in what God has said. And again, we're going to spend the next lesson dealing how with that. But for now, faith in God says, "I believe what God has said because He said it, and that's enough." That's faith. If you come to a sermon and you hear what the Bible says and the preacher has to convince you to do what God says, that's not faith. Faith says, "I'm going to do what God says and because He said it." He doesn't have to convince me that I'm going to be blessed for it. He doesn't have to convince me this or that. I believe God and I will do what God says because He said it. Biblical faith, okay? And so it rests in the Bible. It rests in what He has said. And next week we're going to show you exactly how we know if God truly said something. Because that's the next question. How do you know God said that? Well, if you can show Him the Bible, here it is, and you can show Him that I know God is true and here's why, and I know this is His word and here's why, then there it is. You have evidence. But if you just say, "I feel like I have a hunch and I'm pretty sure it was God who told me," don't put faith in that. You put faith in the Word of God, you see. You need to have biblical reason. And so if your faith is not grounded in Scripture, it might be faith in something, but it is not faith in God. Because God asks us to place faith in His Word, not in hunches, not in good ideas that we have. The last question then is this: what action have you taken? "I have faith in this." Okay, what have you done about it? Because faith means that you've went ahead and got on the plane, right? James said this: faith without works is dead. And you might say you believe something, but if you are not acting on that belief, you might believe it, but you do not have faith in that, you see. Because faith produces action, response to faith. James said it this way in James 2:18-20. "Yea, a man may say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works.'" He says, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O man, know?" I'm sorry. "Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" What's James saying? Well, what brings it from knowledge to faith is allowing that truth to actually affect your life and to respond. James says, you say you believe in God, that's good. The demons believe there's a God. Whenever Jesus showed up, they were scared out of their mind. They believed that He was God, but they have done nothing with that belief. And just because you believe it doesn't mean you have faith. Just because you know all the evidence and all the reasons why, "Yeah, I know God said, but..." If you say, "I know God said, but," then what you are not doing is living by faith. You say, "I know that God said it, period." See that? That's faith. So biblical faith is, I'm fully persuaded that what God said is true. The reason I know that it's true is because the Bible said it, and I am going to do what God said to do. That's faith. Here's some examples. You have to call out on Christ by what? Faith. In faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself, but as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation, listen, being saved is not just saying a prayer that you read on the back of a tract. Romans 10:9-10 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. So we're saved through faith. And again, what are we saying when we say by faith? Well, we're saying there's something we're persuaded about. There's a reason we're persuaded about that, and I'm going to act. And so when you are saved by faith, you can answer these three questions. Well, what do you have faith about? Well, to be saved, you have to have faith in these specific things. We said it, right, a couple of weeks ago. You have to believe by faith in these facts. You're a sinner. You have faith in them. You deserve the wrath of God because of your sin. You have faith in that. If you're like, you know, I've done some bad stuff, but I don't really deserve hell. I'm sorry to say this to you. You can't be saved until you have faith that you deserve the wrath of God. Faith. Jesus took God's wrath on the cross. You have to have faith in that. And if you believe and you have to believe this, that if you believe and confess Jesus, you can accept his payment on the cross. That you have to believe that's all it takes, is calling out on Christ because you have faith in that. Okay, well, what reason do you have for being persuaded about that? Well, because the Bible says that. The Bible says those things. There's no other reason. That pastor was really funny, and I believe him. You know, that's not a reason to be saved. You know, my parents, they told me that my whole life. That's good, but you're not saved because of what your parents told you. You're saved because you have faith in what God has said. And so you believe there's a God, you believe the Bible is his word, and because God said it, you believe it. Right? You don't necessarily need to know chapter and verse, although that helps. But you have to know this, the authority you are trusting for your salvation is the authority of Scripture, not some man. No man can tell you you're saved. God is the one who decides that, and it's based on his authority. Okay, so you believe those specific things. Here's why. Okay, then here's the next question. What have you done about that? Now you said, Pastor, I thought you said it was not of works. It's not of works, but there does demand a response. You called on the Lord, and you asked him to save you. You repented of your sin, and you called out, right? And the Bible says, if you believe with all your heart and call on Christ, you're saved. So there has to be both. There has to be that you believe. You know, you'll talk to people, hey, you know, are you saved? Well, yeah. Well, how do you know? Well, I've always believed God. Okay, that's good. You might not say these words, but the devils believe too. There has to be a time that they responded to that belief by faith and repented of their sin and called that on Christ. See that? Faith. True faith in Christ is when you call. You trust Christ as your Savior and you call. That's faith. See that? Okay. But faith isn't just for salvation. You see, I have faith that God will always forgive my sins if I confess to him. The reason I have faith in that is because the Bible said so in 1 John 1:9. And there's some people who won't believe that. They say, no, I've done too many things. I've messed up too bad. Well, we're not talking about what you've done or how bad you think this is. God thinks it's worse than you think it is. But God said he'll forgive all sin. And you can have faith in that no matter how you feel about it. Because why? The Bible said so. How about what the kids sing? Jesus loves me, this I know. Why do you know that? For the Bible tells me so. They have faith in the Word of God. They don't. Our kids don't deserve that. Even our kids. None of us deserve God's love. But he loves us all. Why? How do you know that? Did you do something to earn? No. I know God loves me. Because what? The Bible tells me so. Faith. I have faith that God will give me wisdom to navigate through the trials of life if I pray and ask him for that. Well, how do you know that? Well, the reason I have faith in that is because the Bible said so in James 2:5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You're like, I don't know what to do. God says, you pray, and God wants to help you know what to do, and he will if you ask. But it's interesting what he says after that. So that was verse 5. Verse 6 through 8 says this, but let him ask in faith. Well, what does that mean? Nothing wavering. Fully persuaded. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Here's what James says. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You cannot come to God and say, God, I need wisdom, but I don't know if you're going to do it. No, you have faith in the Word of God. And you come to God this way. God, you promised in your Word to give me wisdom. God, I don't know what to do here, but God, I trust you. And God, I don't know what to do, but Lord, if I pray, I know your Word says you'll give it to me. And so I'm asking for wisdom. That's faith. Yeah. You ask God for wisdom, but you don't have the faith that he'll actually give it to you. Don't expect God to give it to you. Are you following that? Faith involves being fully persuaded and acting. Listen, but you can act without being fully persuaded. Right? It's not faith unless you act, but you can act without faith. Right? All right, we're almost done. I know it's a little bit late, but let's finish up. Last one. So here's what I'm telling you this morning. God has never asked you to believe without evidence. He has never done that. God has always been interested in giving proof that he is real and giving you proof that the Bible is his word. God never, ever asked you to blindly trust the Bible. From the beginning of time, God has always given reason and evidence to trust him. From the beginning of time, God has always given reason and evidence to prove that the Bible is truly his word. And if you just trust the Bible because it's from God, well, how do you know this? You say, I trust the Bible. Well, why? Because God wrote it. Okay, well then why is the Book of Mormon not true? They claimed it's from God. Is the Quran, how do you know that's not from God? The Buddhist writings, how do you know those aren't from God? They all claim emphatically to be from God. How do you know that the Bible is the only right one? And you'll get that question as you talk to people. After you reason for enough with them, and they're being honest with you, and they trust that you're not going to blow them out of the water, they might ask, well, how do you know the Bible is even real? That is not a rebellious question. That is a wise question. They better know this is the Bible and this is the Word of God before they place their eternity on the line. And so what do we need to do? We'll reason with them and help them see why we know the Bible is true. If you ask a Mormon that, I've done it many times, how do you know the Book of Mormon is true? Here's what they'll say. Just read it. And when you read it, you'll know. We can't say that. We're not both right. How do you know the Bible's real? Well, you just read it and you'll know it's true. That sounds nice. But you read the Book of Mormon, you might get some fuzzies too. But how do you know it's true? How do you know it's true? I'm not here trying to get you to question everything. It's good that you believe it. But what we want to do is give you reason to believe it. That'll help you. That'll help you in the hard times. Whenever it's hard to follow the Word of God. But here's the thing. You say, I know this is hard. It doesn't make any sense. But here's what I do know for sure. Here's my solid ground. Here's my foundation for living. I know God is real. And I know His Word is real. And so I'm going to do what He says. You need that. You need that. It's very important that you're fully persuaded that the Bible is the Word of God. You don't have to understand why God said what He said always, because even when you don't understand, that's when you believe God by faith. But that faith needs to be grounded in evidence and substance. You are fully persuaded that God is real. You are fully persuaded the Bible is His Word. And if you are fully persuaded in that, then there's no reasonable response to His Word than to obey. And if you don't, I know God said it, not going to obey it. Here's what that says about you. You have no faith. And without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. Well, I'll do what God says as long as it makes sense. No. That's not faith. I'll do what God says because I know He is real and I know He said it. And that's enough for me. Faith. And so that's what we'll do next time. Next time we'll walk through the history of mankind. And we'll show you from the Word of God that God was very, very interested and meticulous to make sure that mankind knows this is His Word. He has gone through great lengths to give us evidence. And so let's see what it is. You see? I'm excited about that. If you have questions about any of this, come, feel free to ask me about it. I'd be glad to talk to you and reason with you about that. Amen? Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you that we can have faith in your Word. Thank you, God, that it's perfectly reasonable, perfectly logical to trust your Word, because it's the power unto salvation, because we know it was given from you and we know why. Help us to have that foundation. Help us to be people who follow the book always. Have faith in God. We love you, Christ, and I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see ya.